Hey, listeners, what you're about to hear is an episode from our live recording in Hearst, Texas from the end of August. So that's why we haven't been releasing episodes on quite the normal schedule, because we did that significant event. It's taken a little while to get these put together. But what we wanted to highlight right now was the two sponsors who brought those episodes to you. And the first is Visual Theology. So Visual Theology is a really cool resource site for parents, student ministers, college ministers, Christian school teachers, bringing you biblical truths in really fresh and creative ways. So it's called Visual Theology because the idea is to put biblical truths that are usually taught doctrinally or out of the text into captivating, visually arresting means of understanding them. So turning parables and facts and studies and even genealogies and things like that into something that a student or yourself can look at and go, oh, now I get it. So check out visualtheology.church/happy. You can see the resources. You can also see that we have a 20% discount for our listeners there. There are posters that you can decorate a classroom with. There are books that are really great, like study guides and textbook kind of things. They have curriculum lines that are great for Bible studies, whether it's a new believer or just somebody who's looking to understand how Scripture works. How does this all fit together better? So again, it's visualtheology.church/happy. We have a 20% discount off of any purchase, and that can be used multiple times. You can use that using the code HAPPYRANT at checkout. So HAPPYRANT at checkout. visualtheology.church/happy is the URL. Be sure to check them out. Our second sponsor is Dwell Bible. Dwell is an audio Bible app. If you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, that's dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can see the offer that they have for our listeners as well as check them out. Dwell is a great way to get Scripture into your life. For those who struggle with consistent reading or finding time, We're almost all either mowing the lawn or at the gym or spending time in the car. It's a great thing to do with kids. You can do it in the car with kids. They have a sleep timer set up, so you can set it up to listen as you fall asleep and it'll cut off on its own. They have a read and reflect or a listen and reflect option where you can listen and then there's a pause for memorization, for reflection, for prayer. They have a read-along option where you can read along with the text. And so you can really merge this into your Scripture habits in a bunch of different ways. But again, go to dwellapp.io/happyrant. There is a 10% discount off their annual subscription and a 33% discount off of their lifetime subscription, which is well worth it. They're constantly upgrading, adding narrators, adding Bible versions, adding reading or listening plans, I should say. So again, check them out, dwellapp.io/happyrant. Now, enjoy the episode.
Happy Rant. Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always in studio, in a big taupe room in Hearst, Texas, by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we've come to the portion of the evening that I know is all of our favorites. We don't agree on much, doggone it. We bicker like old married people on this program, but the one thing we do agree on, we love Q&A. We love Q&A time because it's a time to get to know our listeners. It's a time to hear their voices.
It's a time where we don't have to think up our own
topics. It's a time where we don't have to think. Yeah, to put a fine point on it, you generate the content, and we don't have to, so we appreciate that as well. So here's how this is going to work. It's real easy. We got hot mics. We got them all over the room. By all over the room, I mean there's one there and there's one there.
That should be plenty.
That should be plenty. I'm going to throw it to you guys. Anything is on the table. When you ask a question, say your name, say where you're from, do your question, and then you can come up and select an item of swag. Piper, yeah, talk them through that.
There's a bunch of Visual Theology stuff here. So there's posters here. There's T-shirts. There's some pins that look a little bit Star Trek-y, you know, kind of like the little comms thing for the nerds in the room. And then there's a bunch of stickers. So grab one of the posters or shirts, and then you can grab a sticker. And, and then you can unroll the posters and see what they look like. But, yeah, so our friends Visual Theology are sponsoring this.
Let's clap it up for them.
For listeners at home. Make sure you go to visualtheology.church/happy. Get the 20% discount off their stuff. Check out their whole line. For the listeners in the room, ask a question and get free stuff.
Absolutely. Pipe, let's do this. Let's get into our Q&A time. Let's start over here.
We got lines. This is like the SBC convention.
Yeah, they're lined up. They're bursting at the seams.
Who's got the presidential gavel?
Exactly. Let's go right here.
On the right.
Hey, guys. David Gillen from Roanoke, Texas.
Dude, shout out Roanoke. Roanoke, solid community.
Yeah.
Don't know where it is.
Yeah. Northwest of the Metroplex is where we're coming from. A question is that we talked about earlier. What's a clear distinction between Yoda tweeting, or I should say nerd tweeting and the Yoda tweeting?
Between nerd tweeting and Yoda tweeting?
Between your, like...
This is good. We're all about distinction here and drawing clear lines. I love this.
I think we defer to the expert.
Nobody leaves this room not knowing what Yoda tweeting and nerd tweeting are.
Yeah.
Ronald, you're
a
resident
expert. Man, the difference between
nerd Twitter and Yoda Twitter.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Twitter and Yoda. I guess that's it. Between the two, because you participate in one.
Right? Yeah.
Is it safe to say
that you participate in one? Are you kind of owning that as a...
I let people call what I do whatever they would like.
Okay.
I try not to, categorize.
Spoken like a true artist. I don't have a genre.
That's true. Yeah. You call it what you want to call it.
I think there is a Grand Canyon of difference between the two.
Yeah.
Between Yoda tweeting and nerd Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. One is trying to be just self-consciously argumentative... And sort of like, hey, I'm saying a funny word that nobody will understand on purpose to try to put myself into whatever that word means, yeah. And I think Yoda tweeting is trying to say something inspirational, encouraging, thought-provoking.
Okay.
Understandable.
Strong argument for Yoda work.
But also vague enough that it's not like a direct statement. No Yoda tweet is a direct. There's always kind of a reflective openness to it. It's meant to be
reflective in nature to make you think, whereas like nerd Twitter, it's meant to be like shared between like four people that can feel elitist.
I have a question for the room, actually. Have any of you guys ever have you opened up like the notes app on your phone and tried to like compose a Yoda tweet? Has any of Ron's work ever inspired like a little Yoda tweeting on your own? You got a little note open, you're just kicking the tires on it a little bit.
Anyone?
Anybody? Show of hands, Yoda work out there?
Okay, we got one over here. Come up and get one of these things, just for being honest.
Let's clap it up for the boy. He's got...
just for following in Ronnie's footsteps.
A little bit of Yoda in his future.
I keep a notes app for tweets, but it's not for Yoda tweets. It's more because I don't know if I will get in trouble if I post them. So I type them in the notes, and then I chew on it for a while, and then usually they never go anywhere.
Pipe, how would you describe... Give a succinct description of Yoda tweeting.
Mm.
Just so people understand. Nothing like snarky, just to understand what it is.
It's on its surface, it sounds very clear-cut, inspirational. And the moment you think about it for a second, there's a twinge of, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what this really means.
Which Melissa says to me probably one out of every four.
There's some like opacity there.
Nerd Twitter, you look at it and you go, I don't know if that makes sense. I don't even know if that's English.
I don't even know if those are words.
Yeah. So that's the big difference.
Right. It's opaque. It's inspirational. It's commercial.
Oh.
The three jewels in the Yoda Twitter marketing crown.
Wow.
It's all three.
Very retweetable.
Yeah. It's a potent stew of those three things.
Wow. Can you say that again? Did you get your
free stuff? You're welcome to. And I imagine it'll go quick.
I'm asking you to say that again because I think it was good. It's not to put you on the spot.
No. It's opaque, meaning it's unclear at some level. It's inspirational.
Yeah.
Self-evident.
And then here's the third one that I really love.
That it's commercial.
Yeah.
Right? You're doing it for a purpose. The purpose is audience building, right?
Speaking of audience, we should probably take more questions.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go over here. Left side of the room.
Hi, I'm Ted from College Station, Texas.
Ted, dude. Shout out Ted. Strong name.
What a great name.
Ted from College Station. What do you got, Ted?
Yeah, my question is, I would like to hear from each of you, what would be your one recommendation for how... Reformed evangelicals could have more fun.
Oh.
Chill out.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go first.
Go.
One recommendation for how Reformed people can have more fun. Stop wearing Reformed like it's your uniform. It's not a jersey. Like, it should be worn, like, it functions much more like underwear than your jersey. Like, it's supportive, it's necessary, we encourage it, and nobody should ever see
it. It's nice when it doesn't chafe.
Yeah. and everybody's more comfortable when they don't know what you have on. So, yeah that. Ted?
That's, it's absolutely,
hard to top that, right?
Ron, I can't follow that.
I don't think I
absolutely can't. Let's clap it up for Pipe. Yeah. That was absolutely perfect. Get up here, man. Grab yourself some swag. There's no beating that comment. Let's go over here to the Cowboys fan.
Yeah, that's me. My name's Nick. I'm from Denton, Texas, about 20 miles north of here. This is a deep cut, but I do want to say the second episode felt a little reformed pubbian.
Wow.
But y'all, I feel like y'all saved it at the end.
Okay. I just interesting. We're hearing it.
I don't know if that's constructive criticism or just criticism.
It's just criticism. It's just criticism.
Yeah. I would take some of that reform pub money. I'm not going to lie, though.
Do they still exist?
I have no idea.
Okay, me either.
They made a podcast in like 5 years, but their tweets are very spicy.
Okay.
All right. If you had to write a I kissed blank goodbye, what would it be?
Oh, I kissed blank goodbye. What would it be? Baby?
Oh, this is so easy for me right now.
Go.
Dude, no, I can't go. You guys go.
Go. You said this is so. You were being ironic.
Being ironical. Yeah.
I don't know. That's a great question.
Seashells. I would kiss all things pertaining to seashells. Goodbye forever and ever.
That's so good because you get, whenever that's referenced in any item of pop culture.
Frappin' Mike Cosper quoted that in one of those Mars Hill episodes in my Twitter.
And your whole life
filled
was,
up again.
Your life was seashells for a couple days.
Him. I'm not there yet.
Yes,
I would kiss seashells goodbye.
Okay, so peeling back the curtain, you and I were talking about this phenomenon via text, and I feel like I had something similar. What was it? Do you remember?
I'd have to go back and look at our text, which are mostly football. So
yeah.
To sort through some of that.
I remember what it was.
Okay, here we go.
People asking me like what it was like to write a book with Kevin DeYoung.
Yes.
Or referencing them as the DeYoung books.
Would you kiss Kevin DeYoung goodbye?
It's
or is it like a
what kind of kiss would it be? You know? Would it be long?
Kiss of death
on the mouth? You know.
This is awkward.
Yeah, exactly.
Ronnie, would kiss this question goodbye? What are we talking about?
Baby,
come on. What would you kiss goodbye?
Man. I don't know. I'm not good on my feet. Unless I'm preaching a sermon.
It's a good thing we're doing Q&A where you don't know the questions.
I kiss deconstruction goodbye.
There we go. There
Thanks for the
is.
Question. Be sure to get your stuff.
All right, let's go over here.
He brought his own swag.
I'm Abram Martin from Lot, Texas. And yeah, I'm here to
Abram, is that really your last name, or are you just trying to get in with me?
Abram Martin, no relation.
That is the name that my parents also have.
I appreciate that. Yeah. So it's tough having two first names, isn't it?
I'm here representing the Mennonite fan club of Happy Rant Pod.
Dude, shout out the Mennonite fan club. Let's clap it up for Mennonites.
I didn't know we had one.
I love this.
I love learning we have fan clubs.
Absolutely.
And so as we were trying to think of what's like the most Mennonite thing we could give y'all, and so we got these Dirk Willems posters. Just a really brief overview. Dirk Willems was an Anabaptist martyr that when he was being chased, he was running across a icy river, and his the person that was chasing him, the cop at the time, fell through the ice, and he turned around and rescued him. And the cop, following his orders that he had given, still had to arrest him. And a couple months later, whatever, Dirk Willems was burned at the stake for his faith.
So, wow, dude.
So this is what this poster represents.
And we get those. We get to keep those.
That's dark.
There's one for each of y'all.
Yeah. Exceedingly dark.
There you go.
But cool looking and definitely going in my smoke room for sure.
Guys, some dark Mennonite history never hurt anybody.
Hey, you know what?
Bring them up here.
And my question that I have is, when can satire be redemptive and when can it not be helpful?
Oh, I thought your question was going to be, where are you at on Dirk Willems?
Feeling a little glum. Yeah.
I'm like, if I had a nickel for every time
Thanks,
I get
Abram
that
Martin.
Question. Abram, thank you
Solid
so much.
Solid last name, Abram.
Yeah, absolutely. So the question was, when can satire be helpful and when is it not helpful?
Yeah, redemptive and not
so. Yeah. Pipe, what do you think?
I think it's a question of whether or not satire basically draws out a truth and overemphasizes it. So you play up kind of the absurdity or whatever. And so I think the question has more to do with the spirit behind it than not. Like, are you seeking to destroy and make a fool out of, or seeking to just kind of bring to light something, mm-hmm. either humorous or kind of show the absurdity of something. There's a way to do it that's not overly critical, overly mean, and then there's a way to do it that leaves somebody just sort of devastated and ripped to shreds. And I think that's probably the biggest difference in between redemptive and not.
Yeah.
Good answer, good. Ronnie.
Yeah, thanks.
Pipe, you got any? Or thanks. Ron, you got anything on that?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good with that one, too. I'm riding Pipe's coattails on this episode, you know? I think. He's doing a great job.
I'm gonna pull a Kobe Bryant and just refuse to shoot one of these.
I do not believe that.
I love that
so
analogy.
So let's just continue as we continue.
That would make me who on that roster?
Like Lamar Odom.
Rick, I'll be Lamar Odom.
Yeah.
I met Lamar Odom, actually.
Nice guy?
Yeah, very nice guy.
Good.
Let's go over here.
I'm James from Commerce. So I was thinking some of like the seminal books of early Reformed were like Knowing God and books like that. What would be the super niche theological point and accompanying book title to like be a big book in modern Reformed, like modern Reformed circles?
It would be Deconstructed Heart by Lamar Odom. If Lamar Odom took a pivot into like Reformed theology, that would be, wouldn't that be a great story?
Wait, what was the title that Pipe had earlier for his book, his new book?
I don't know.
What was that one title where I said I already have a deal for you on it?
I don't know. You had a deal for me. I don't have to remember.
It's true.
Like,
it was a great title, though.
Yeah.
So what would be the question is, what would be the niche theological point? And what was the other part of the question?
The book title.
Book title, niche theological point.
Like you're saying for now, for 2021.
Yeah, that would get modern.
Okay. Yeah.
It would be, you remember the spate of like early 2000s crappy books, like the theology in the Matrix or the theology of the Sopranos or whatever.
Yeah, there like, was the Simpsons. There was like popular thing.
The Reformed version of that circa 2021 would be like, you know, like a working theology of bourbon by some like 33-year-old cool guy, you know, with like a nice jawline and a little bit of stubble. And he'd probably sell 100,000 copies.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going with.
I'm trying to think of like, so you got the more modern, you get like Don't Waste Your Life, and then you got Radical, and you got Crazy Love. Like, what's one of those that's like a, it just sort of goes wild like, card, even though it's kind of not.
Like a one-worder.
Yeah.
Like one or two words.
I think it would be like Unified or something like that. And then it would be, it's just kind of painting a picture about one big Reformed group hug.
Mm. Yeah.
Unified.
Yeah.
There's a good buck in that racket.
Yeah, it's like a conference.
I could see you guys collabing on that app, actually.
It sounds like a conference with
I'm not a big unified. I don't have a dog in the unified fight.
You're like, I like fighting with people. This is no fun at all.
I could see you guys doing unified and making a pile, dude. Let's make this happen.
Ronnie, thoughts?
What, unified?
Are you in on Unified by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J.
Nah,
Martin?
That's too basic for me, man. I don't.
You like it, you like to keep it non-commercial.
I can't switch. Right, I don't want to sell it, guys.
Ron's
let's
like,
be clear.
Yeah.
I do not want to sell any books.
Don't get me wrong. I'm uncomfortable selling more than 900 copies of a book.
I do not want to sell any books.
I get a little squeamish.
To be clear,
you're doing great. You
know. When those numbers climb way high, hey, listen, come up, grab a piece of swag. Great question. Let's throw it over here to this side.
Hi, my name is James from Midland. My question is going to be a little bit more nonsensical. Some of my favorite episodes of y'all's are talking about celebrity pastors like with candy bars or quarterbacks or whoever. With the rise of the superhero movies and Marvel like being all big time right now, what would be your celebrity pastor Avenger team? Who would be what superhero?
Ooh.
Well, Mark Driscoll's the Hulk.
This might be a little smugness flex for me. I don't watch a lot of those movies. I don't know like who a lot of. I know Iron Man is one of those guys, right?
Yeah, who would be Iron Man?
Chandler is Tony Stark.
I think that person needs to be a little bit older, a little bit more broken.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I actually like Iron
Man. But still funny. Not a lot of funny Reformed guys.
Yeah, crickets chirping.
Short list here.
Who would that be?
I mean, Matt Chandler's not young anymore.
That's true. Maybe it is Matty Chan. He's going to get that metal suit and a tall.
The man survived cancer. He's grizzled.
He is grizzled. All right, let's go Matty Chan for the metal
Stark.
Suit guy. Yeah, Tony Stark.
Drisky for the Hulk.
Who? What are some other character names? Who else is in
Captain America? honestly, that should probably be Chandler. He's sort of the All-American.
That's
David Platt, because he's the one who's
Platt.
Like kind of the All-American boy.
Platt is Captain America.
Very basic and pretty boring.
Like, he's Mr. Like, don't stay in America. Like, go someplace miserable.
That's
he's
true.
That guy.
he's the opposite.
He's also like Mr. Virtue, though. So he's like virtuous, kind of boring.
He's got a Captain America like persona, but he's all about you like going someplace miserable.
He's Spider-Man, man.
He's a little Spider-Man, isn't he?
Yeah. Spider-Man's like the baby of the group. Who?
It's gonna sound weird, but I can imagine Platty like hanging upside down. You know what I mean? Sometimes like I do imagine that. Does that make me weird?
What are we talking about?
Baby, you roll with that where you want to roll with that.
Yeah. I'm talking with my Covenant Eyes guy about it.
Who's Thor?
It's covered. We're on top of it. Thor?
Yeah.
Someone with long hair.
You're just setting yourself up for this one.
Broader shoulders than normal, middle age.
Strikingly handsome. Generally amusing.
Handsome in a pudgy sort of way. You know?
Occasionally makes poor decisions. Sounds like you, Ted.
It does sound like me.
Derwin Gray.
I'll take it. Derwin Gray.
Yeah.
But he's not reformed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
There's just not that many interesting reformed people.
Now, I actually know somebody who has long blonde hair, occasionally in a ponytail, and a huge audience like Thor. Beth Moore. Beth Moore Ragnarok. I'd watch that. 90 well, minutes.
She's got to be on the list.
Let's do one more Marvel
character. Which makes Russell more like Hawkeye, sort of the...
That connected right there.
That did connect. You know what? That's an organic end to this question. We loved it. We had some fun with it. It was a good couple minutes of radio. Let's clap it up for our guy from Midlands. Grab some swag. Midlands finest right here. Let's go over here.
Michael Stiles representing...
I know exactly who you are, Michael Stiles.
What a last name.
That's strong.
You know what? I'm a firm believer.
You got to be born with that name.
Yes. I'm a firm believer in names.
That's how last names tend to work.
If you have a great name, you're not failing.
Right.
Like, this guy's going, he's in the rocket ship with
Michael
that name.
Michael Stiles.
Michael Stiles. You can do anything
with that. He is a superhero.
Exactly. He was an influencer the day he was born
with
that
name. Yeah, that's
the
Marvel universe right there standing behind the mic.
The Michael Stiles cinematic universe. Let's go. I'm in. Michael, what's your question?
This is a softball, I hope. And you alluded to it in the first episode. But what was on those green room riders? What was the hesitation on
riders? Riders. Yeah, this is good. Pipe?
Ted, you described your hesitation to ask for anything. I think we just need to hear kind of your thought process on that first.
Just being like a self-hating Midwestern guy and never wanting to inconvenience anyone for any reason. I'm like... you can get me a box of Mike and Ike's if you feel like it. I mean, don't put yourself out. No big deal. If you want to take me out and run me over with your car first, that'd be fine too. I'll be out there in 2 minutes. But yeah, I got the Mike and Ike's. I got a whole bunch of water. I'm good. I'm happy. That's a breakfast of champions.
Mike and
right
Ike's
there.
And waters guy. You ever want to bring Pipe out or Ted out? It's easy.
Yeah, the rider's short.
Whoa. I didn't settle for Mike and Ike's and water. I gave like three options. I was like, I like these things. But there was a strong sense of...
Options are good.
But only if that's convenient and they're easy to find.
Yeah,
so I asked for like the Gardettos because I'm a grumpy old man. And
Gardettos are solid though.
Yeah.
They're so good.
Yeah, they're delicious.
I didn't know you asked for that though.
Yep.
And then I took the bag of them last night.
I have a bag in my room already.
There we
fine.
Go. Okay.
They gave a very open-handed, like, what would you guys like? And I have the strong, like, freezing, like, I like 15 things and I'm not going to ask for two of them. Yeah. Because it felt pretentious otherwise. Ronnie was like, brown M&Ms only.
I'll just ask for whatever I want.
Ronnie's rider is like...
Fiji water at 67 degrees.
It's like War and Peace. Yeah. Ryan's still working his way through it back there.
I need to be picked up like, in a black Escalade, 68 degrees, Fiji water.
Ronnie's, it's like reformed dogmatics.
Also Perrier.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you
Correct.
Like bubbles. Yeah.
I need a little bubbly. Yeah.
That's Google. It. We got the whole rider spectrum represented up here at the table, I think. Both ends.
Yeah. And Ryan did pick me up in a black Escalade. It was great. Yeah, it was amazing.
That is great.
Yeah.
Ryan's great.
Yeah, they tried to rent me a Prius.
Yeah. Well, again, boys, you have not because you have
because
not.
That's right.
That's it.
Man, welcome to the Midwest.
I love
that's
good
right.
proof text.
Michael, come up here and take your pick.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael
Stiles. Let's clap it up for Michael Stiles.
I was hoping you spelled it with a Z on the end, man, but that's...
Yeah, because it's 1993. That would be amazing.
That's
Michael
his stage
Stiles.
Name.
That would have been sweet.
That's his AOL screen name.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
I love it, dude. Let's go over here.
I'm Shauna Cobb. I just moved from Midland to Abilene. So
okay.
So my question is, and I'm don't be offended.
Strong start. I'm a little. I'm nervous now, but
so you guys, you've brought up Mars Hill several times on your shows on the podcast, and Ted Kluck, you always dance around it, and you won't commit. And I don't know if you've ever really listened to it, but you want everybody else's opinion. And I just want you to listen and give your own opinion.
Shauna, I want you to know
or
in this moment that I prize your directness and I respect it.
Okay?
Absolutely. And far from being offended, I'm intrigued by this, okay? And I want to be honest with you right now in saying that KK and I were on a road trip a few weeks ago and we gave it like 12 minutes. And I hated listening to it because it made me sad and then I quit. Because I don't think I have staying power. I'm not a guy who, like, maybe I'm bad at doing hard things. But
I like how you keep quoting the title of Josh Harris's younger brother's book.
I know.
There's just that.
I'm hanging on to my Brett Harris stock, you know.
But you got to get,
big Alex guy myself.
No, you got to, like, you keep saying that. And so, I just want you to commit.
Oh, she's going in on this, man.
Shauna, I want you to do something for me, okay?
You always bring it up.
I know. I bring it up because it's this cultural item that, like, I don't feel like I can enter into because I tried and I hated the experience. But and I don't have any. I don't have a dog in this fight, right? Like, I'm not trying to work Cosby for anything, so I don't have to act like I like it. And I'm not. I'm not trying to. You know, I'm not trying to come at Driscoll. I don't know. Like, I just it. Here's the thing, and I want to hear you on this, actually, Shauna. For me, it. Like, watching or listening to something that's about the unraveling of a guy's life, even if the guy is a bad guy, right? So even if we decide he's the worst guy, he sucks, whatever, it bums me out because I can see that I could very easily be that guy, you know? And they could be making a 12-episode Netflix series about how I screwed everything up. And if they did that, it would make my mom really sad, right? She would be crushed and that makes me feel sad. And, you know, I'll say this about it. It was really well done. Like for what it was, like a documentary podcast series or whatever, I could tell that like care went into it and they did a really good job. And for what it was really well done, but it was just not a thing that like, I'm not drawn to it. You know what I mean? I want you to go like a sentence and like sell me on it though. Like what, like where's the traction for you on it?
I'm going to have to go with more than one sentence.
Yeah, go.
Okay. So I just think it's so interesting.
Like, step up to the mic a little bit just so it's louder.
There we go.
Thank you.
I think it's very interesting, like the whole concept and how it happened. And I think it could happen. I think it's a good listen so that that won't happen.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
You're saying it's a cautionary tale.
Yeah,
that's compelling. I think it is a cautionary tale.
And like, you guys are so good at making fun of people and not hurting feelings. And so don't be scared to do that. Like, that's what I like about your show. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So,
anyway, you guys are so good at making fun of people.
Sorry.
Not hurting their feelings.
That's always been the goal.
Yeah.
That's
always been the goal.
Well, the goal is the second half of that.
I love it. Let's clap it up for Shauna. Kind of came at me a little bit, but I feel like we're okay still.
For the record, I'm with Shauna on this. I think you should listen.
I know, dude. And there's a part of me, this is just going to sound weird. I don't like Star Wars either. Like, I'm just not a Star Wars guy, but I want to be. I want to enter in with people on that. I want to be into the space movie thing, but I'm just not into space.
Did you ever watch Breaking Bad?
I had tapped out on Breaking Bad for the same reason. Just bummed me out too much.
Here's the thing. It took me 4 or 5 tries to gain momentum and watch Breaking Bad. And at the end, like, I wasn't one of the shows that I was like, this is my favorite. But I was like, that was worth watching. Really well done.
Yeah.
That's the rise and fall of Mars Hill experience kind of in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Really well done.
Yeah.
A really well-told story. Yeah. Not a happy thing.
Yeah.
Maybe a slow starter.
I think that's a great comp, actually. Like, I ascend intellectually to it being really good. Like, I know Breaking Bad was really good. And in fact, there's a part of my heart that wants to, like, watch it and be into it and be able to talk with people about it. But it just kind of bummed me out. And so I quit. That's where we're at.
It's an interesting emotional place. I just quit.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Got to know when to fold them. Let's go over here.
Hello, my name is Sarah Opgenorth, and I'm from Dallas, Texas. So imagine that you are the owner and operator of a brand new AA minor league baseball team
Let's
what
go.
What do you name your franchise?
Let's go, Sarah.
Ronnie just texted about minor league baseball teams like a week ago.
Yeah, this is a passion of ours.
Well, I was fascinated by how bad the names are. You know, like you go down the list and it's always like, you know, the Rattle Tattles and the Mud Hens and the Chicken
the
Pot Pies and
yeah.
the Biscuits. I mean, it's like they're making a joke out of something that frankly feels a little more serious than that. I just don't get it.
So,
you know,
can I ask you a follow-up question?
Yes.
Can you give us like the metro area like of
yeah.
the
yeah.
team?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got the Frisco AA Rough Riders.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. We used to have the Fort Worth Cats.
Okay.
Down in
I don't mind that.
Right above Austin. Gosh, I already forgot their name. The Brown Rock Express, like trains.
Yeah. yeah.
And
that's
then
solid.
In Kinston in the Carolinas, it's the Kinston.
Where do you want our team to be?
It's of your choosing because it varies.
Okay.
I've actually been Hearst.
I've got one for Hearst. I'm gonna pool my resources with Ronald and move a minor league team to Hearst. And I'm going to go with the Hearst Hearses. And despite the fact that it's like 114 degrees
oh,
with 98%
what you
humidity,
could do bringing relief pitchers in.
That's it.
Bullpen.
You bring them in a little golf cart like hearse. It's longer.
Yes.
It's black.
Hearst Hearses.
Love it.
The uniform, all black.
All black.
Despite the heat and humidity, your guys are going to die probably of like heat exhaustion in the black uniform.
And then you get to take them off in the
hearse. And then you get to pull them off in the hearse.
This is perfect.
It's thematic.
It
you
is.
Know what I mean?
Can I invest in this yeah. team and be like a minority owner?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
I can't top that.
Wait, okay. The three of us in the owner's box. That's the dream, right?
Yeah, I love
the
it.
Mascot is like an Undertaker.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Dancing on the graves. Yeah. There
Dude,
we go. This is
perfect. The top of the dugout is painted to look like the top of a coffin. You know what I mean? It's got those
or
like,
just says, like RIP.
Striations in
yeah.
it. Yeah. It says
like,
RIP.
It's like a gravestone.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
When you strike a guy out, like the little graphic on the scoreboard is RIP.
Yeah.
You know.
And our mascot is like Count Chocula.
I love it. No, when the relief pitcher comes in, they drive him in, a coffin opens,
yeah.
he rises up out of the coffin to take his
the person driving has like the Undertaker big hood and the
yes.
what's the big hook thing?
Yeah, the yeah. big
sickle.
Hook thing. Yeah.
Sickle.
The
That's
sickle.
The one.
Yeah. yeah. Hearst Hearses.
The Hearst Hearses. There you go.
Season. Get your season
get
tickets
your,
at HearstHearses.com. I just locked down the URL. Sarah, what a great question. Let's clap it up. Enjoy your swag.
Did Josh already get us that URL?
Yeah, yeah. He bought us the URL. We're good.
VisualTheology/HearstHearses.
yeah, I love it. I love it.
I feel like there's some resurrection jokes to be made there, too.
Absolutely. Let's go over here.
Okay, hello. My name is Crosby Cobb. I'm Shauna's daughter, so...
Oh, nice.
And I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. I'm curious, longtime listener, first time viewer.
Ooh.
Do you guys think that you look like the way your voice sounds?
Oh.
I think we need to put that question back to you because, you know, I don't even think I sound like what I sound like because the voice that I hear in my head and then the voice I hear on recordings are not the same
it's
thing.
Really
so,
depressing.
Do you think we sound like what we look like?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, what?
Really? Let's
what
go
does,
with like.
What does Ronnie's voice look like?
Yeah.
Ronnie's voice looks like a little bit more, still a little hipster.
Okay.
But
good.
A little more Eddie Bauer.
Oh,
you know,
okay. Interesting.
A little more outdoorsy.
Like quilted vests. Like
quilted
okay.
vests.
Like
yes.
he has a green, like a Hunter Green, like racing stripe
strong
down the side
corduroy,
of his SUV.
Strong corduroy
uh-huh.
vibes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Strong corduroy. Ted, yours is like solely Under Armour. Like you only shop at Academy.
Wait, solely what? Solely Under Armour, like I'm a coach.
Yes.
Like I'm in a quarter
zip. Like full on basketball yeah. shorts every day.
Like monochromatic
basketball shorts every day. That
yes.
hurts my feelings. But
just your voice, though.
It's okay. We're going to roll with it. Yeah.
And then Barnabas, yours is like very hipster.
Huh.
Like Vans, skinny jeans.
Oh.
Wow.
That's what I think.
I don't know if I'm offended or honored. Like that's cooler than I am.
Yeah,
but
right.
also I don't ever want to be that.
That's
yeah.
fair. That's fair.
Well,
that's
what I thought. I think she got it like... somewhat right for all of us. And then I am a coach, and I do embody some of that persona. You're, like, on the hipster spectrum probably just by...
I'm just by...
nature of living
yeah,
in Nashville.
Yeah, I live adjacent to hipsters, yeah.
And I think Ron's on the... So Ron revealed a thing today at lunch that, again, like, this is the joy of relationship. You're learning something new, right? There's still things we're learning about each other, baby.
Mm.
Isn't that nice?
Mm.
But we know that Ron is a hipster, but I also learned that he's, like... hikey and bikey, and he's like, you know, go for a bike ride guy or take a hike up the side of a hill.
He also announced yesterday.
I feel like it's an Eddie Bauer thing.
That he's done with jeans because he doesn't find them comfortable and he's just only going to be comfortable. So there's a strong Eddie Bauer.
See the way these things stretch?
Yeah.
That's a breaking news.
You nailed an ethos of Ronnie's character there. That's pretty good.
So you've done a good thing here.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, you're spot on. Why don't you come grab some swag as a reward? That was a solid question.
Yeah, I liked it.
Let's go over here.
A lot of creativity in that question.
Yeah.
Hello, my name's Hannah Stone. I'm from Northern Virginia, which sounds less crazy because I'm visiting my sister. He lives here.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah. So my question is a little more tugging the heartstring. I love when you guys talk about your wives because they seem like low-key so cool.
They are so cool.
So my question,
they're right back there.
Yeah. So my question is, was there a moment when you knew like you wanted to marry your wife?
Or
was
it like
a series of things? Like was it like, oh, this is it, like this is a woman I love, or was like multiple little things like, oh, slowly but like all at once?
This is such a good question, man. Shoot this into my veins. I love it. Should we bring the girls up?
Absolutely.
Ladies, come on up. Let's clap it up for the wives.
At least stand. At least have them stand.
Yeah, can you stand? Can we compromise?
Stand up.
There you go.
Yes.
For those listening at home, they're wonderful and look great.
They are wonderful.
The wives.
So was there a moment when you knew, like, she was the one?
You go first, man. You said shoot this in my veins.
Yes.
So you shoot it into the mic. Let's go.
Baby, you got to control your emotions. I can see that you're
wavering a little bit.
You're starting to get a little.
Yeah. My deconstructed heart is just pounding. It was our first date, dude, and that is no lie. It was one of these first dates that they plan for one thing, but then it goes forever, you know, and you're just hours deep into this thing. And when I said goodbye to her, it was like 3 a.m. The streets were empty. It was kind of cool. Like the dew was settling on everything. And it was hard for me not to kiss her, right? But I was like, no, I don't want to push it. This is too great. It's too perfect. I want to bottle up this feeling. And then I walked home like right down the middle of the street, and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was a go.
You're a walking rom-com, man.
I know I am, dude. And I just think when you know, like, you don't have to feel nervous about when you call the person. You don't have to wait 72 hours, industry standard,
six
you know.
Days.
Yeah, you don't have to wait 6 days. You can just pick up the phone and call the next day, and it's going to be well-received. And that was the feeling. So I think I was a first-nighter.
Oh, man.
What about you guys?
Yeah, man. It's same for me, man.
First night?
Oh, my gosh. It was just magic.
Yeah?
We ended up on the beach first night.
Yeah.
But this gig took a while.
Okay.
Right? So I met Big M. A couple years before, it took some time for us to have that magic night. Yeah.
Why did it take time?
Well, it's too long of a story, but it took some time, and we ended the night on the beach, pitch darkness, everything above board, and it was the same thing, man. I remember driving,
and that the rest of your family was there.
Yeah,
you know,
it was actually a Calvary Chapel baptism.
So it really was.
Josh Harris was there.
We had this long drive home. We had
just a little accountability. I take the whole church on the first day.
I mean, I didn't grow up as a Baptist,
Mennonite
guys.
Approved.
It was a little bit different, right? We were allowed to date.
Yeah.
Hour and a half drive home, chatting.
Yeah.
The conversation never died. Dropped her off. I know there was that thing where you want to keep it cool.
Yeah.
Not too much. Don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And, I remember driving home just thinking, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm.
It's
like,
a wrap.
Like we're done.
Yeah.
This is it. This is forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, baby.
I know. It's true.
Yeah, it is nice.
Yeah.
It is nice. Pipe.
It was a longer process for me to not to come around, but to more like let myself be comfortable. So I had been married previously, and so I was coming into it probably in a much more jaded and self-protective place. And thankfully, Lauren was very patient
and older. Pipe.
And older, not like 23
not like,
or not in college,
not
or whatever.
13 like me and Big T.
Yeah, not at your baptism service at 9. Right. And so. Yeah, so there was a whole different sort of thought process in it. So I think I knew before I let myself know, because I was in the context where I'm like, well, I'm not going to keep dating somebody who I don't think this is going somewhere.
Yeah.
And I was perfectly at ease with that, but I also wasn't kind of letting myself acknowledge that, this is the person I'm going to marry. So it took, I probably knew I was going to marry her a couple months into dating, and then it took another couple months to get to the place where, like, out loud, I could say this is where that's going.
Also, I have to shout out Hannah for two things. One, an amazing question. It's fun to talk about our ladies. Two, Hannah Stone, amazing gift giver. We got gifts mailed to us. Mm. They came to our homes.
Yeah.
They were personalized. They were well wrapped. There were a lot of like little tchotchkes
those
in there.
Weren't those going to be at a live event that we had to cancel? Like you had made a plan to be at a live event that we had to pull the plug on because of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys like joked about never getting, you never got an Easter basket. So I was like, oh, yes. Bring Easter baskets.
Gift
it'd be
baskets.
So funny.
Yes.
And then COVID happened. I was like, wow, the world's depressing. I need something to do.
Yes.
And you made
us
it far
too.
Less depressing for us. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. That's Let's awesome. Clap it up for Hannah. All right, you've been very patient. Let's go over here.
Thank you. Hey, guys. I'm Camry Rhodes. I'm from Waco, Texas.
Yeah.
It's like you're making fun of shiplap. It's like birthplace of shiplap.
Oh,
you
know birthplace. Yeah. Home of shiplap.
How's Chip doing with his new haircut, man?
Yeah, it's shaved.
Can we
it's
talk
gone.
About it? Is he good? Is he
I don't
feeling
know.
Good?
I
Without
hope
the
so.
The long blonde locks.
What's the new haircut, baby?
Dude, you just shaved us after St. Jude, raised just a quick 150K.
Sweet.
As one does.
In a couple hours. Like we do typically.
Like we do. Yeah, the charity things that we're into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's anyway, nothing for them. Nothing for Chip. So just being here, my question is like, what do you think your target audience is? Because like looking in the crowd, like I can't figure it out. You know what I'm saying?
That's like, such a good question.
But like, I need you to paint your Saddleback Sam for me. Like, do you know
this is the whitest thing, actually.
Yeah.
thank you, whoever said that over there. Saddleback Sam. That's what she asked.
What's that a reference to?
Yeah, paint your Saddleback Sam. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
What is it's because you haven't listened to the podcast.
This
you don't
is,
know.
this is Rick Warren's, like, they like painted a paradigm of the kind of person they wanted to reach with Saddleback Church.
Like, and based, was, in, yeah, based yeah, in Orange
yeah,
County.
Yeah, so, like.
How come I don't know this?
Because you haven't listened to the Mars Hill podcast.
You don't listen to podcasts or go on social media.
You don't read, Ted.
I don't listen to non-football podcasts, okay? Let's put a finer point.
I like the Saddleback Sam reference.
Yeah, okay.
Who is our Saddleback Sam?
Who's our Saddleback Sam? Pipe?
Honestly, I never think about it. I just figure the people who have the right sense of humor will find this.
It's pretty diverse, really. I think it is. I mean, even age-wise, we kind of hit all the ages.
The one thing that all of our listeners, like loyal listeners, have in common is not wanting to take church stuff too seriously. They're just not that caught up in all that. And they're just kind of like, I'm done with that. Let's have some fun with this. Like, I still believe in it, but let's have some fun with
it. It's crazy, too. I was telling these guys, like, I run into students on my campus who listen, not because they took a class. Like, they came to college having listened to the program. And then I run into parents who listen. So that's a pretty wide net if you're talking about age demographics, like completely different eras. And it's nice that we can pull, you know, that wide of a swath of age, but
they're letting us have that moment.
It's very nice for us. Any other thoughts on target audience?
I mean, I think it's right here. I think it's represented.
It is. Yeah. It's this room, and these are the elites.
Yeah. Well,
these are the tier ones.
They're the ones who go above and beyond.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're at the top, and everybody
You're
else.
You're a
is
tier
less
one.
Than.
Come and get some tier one swag.
Absolutely. Let's clap it up. Clap it up for the tier ones for yourselves. Let's go over here.
My name is Jason from Burleson, and my question is for Ted, what the cluck?
Yeah,
actually,
solid.
My wife has the question. I just always wanted to say that.
Yeah, no, solid. Thank you so much for that.
Okay, so I have two brief questions because I think they're both going to be quickies. Number one, we'd like to make a submission to them weekly.
Oh, yes.
And so it's Al Mohler.
Oh.
Okay.
Drisky and... Platt, what would we like to see them every day doing?
Doing in that little photo section in them weekly. I love
Correct.
This question. Right. You're thinking like an editor, and I like that.
You're really strengthening the content. I appreciate this.
I'll send you our submissions guidelines via email once we're off the program.
All right, so is Mohler, Driscoll, and Platt?
Platt.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's the question? Wait, clarify the question.
What are they doing in
everyday life? In the montage, of the they are everyday people. Can
I have a snapshot
in
my mind
people?
For Al Mohler right now.
Go.
And it's Al Mohler in like flannel pajama pants and like a terry cloth bathrobe,
yeah,
shuffling down to the end of his long tree-lined driveway to get his whatever the Louisville newspaper is. You know, and just
the
sort
standard
of like,
dispatch.
And then
actually,
losing his mind because somebody let their dog poop on his yard. So like standing there looking at the newspaper, and then there's this steaming pile, and he's just out of his mind mad. And we get that. That's Al Mohler in my mind.
Fairly accurate.
In my mind, Al Mohler is falling asleep when I met him about 12 years ago at a conference.
Featured in the Happy Rant book, by the way.
Exactly.
That tells that story.
Yeah, if you like that story and you want to read about it at length, it's in there.
All right, so Driscoll, what's Driscoll doing in the everyday? I think he's palming 20s to his private security guards.
Yeah, I like that. But it's got to be something Scott's Daily, right?
Okay,
it's
yes, got to
be like... You know, he's going out of a nail spa, or he's doing
yeah,
he's tanning.
Yeah, Scottsdale. If you've ever been to Scottsdale, man, I mean, it's
you know what he's doing.
It's high endy.
Yeah, it's high end. He's walking out of his tennis club, and somebody's opening the door of a black Escalade for him, and he's getting in. Sunglasses. He's just climbing in. Right. So it's a
what
little,
kind of sunglasses?
It's a slice of life. You know what I mean?
Is it like
vipers.
Aviators? Are they like wraparounds? Like white Oakleys? What are we talking about?
No. What would Drisky rock? Sunglass wise,
I mean,
or like the Dolce and Gabbana ones.
I just don't even want to say it's going to sound smug.
Oh yeah, because that ship hasn't sailed.
I mean, you know, the guy already has a podcast.
What about Platt?
Platty.
I think Platt's doing deadlifts at his CrossFit 100%. Gym.
Yeah, flipping a tire. You know.
Yes, it's yes. That's what. Or like the thing where they drop the tire over the big pole. He's got a tire up over his head.
I get the sense vis-a-vis
you
Platty.
See his lower
his
back
workouts.
Tattoo.
He works out hard, but he doesn't enjoy it. You know what I mean? It's joyless. That makes me sad. Let's go on a little existential vis-a-vis the Platt photo. But yeah. I love this magazine idea. You're going to be one of our staff writers. You're hired. Let's come get some swag. Let's clap it up.
You had
for
one more
question,
right?
Oh, we got one.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so just briefly, I wanted Ronnie to finish a thought that we were talking about as he came down the aisle. We were talking about the place of heydays as you get older.
Yeah.
That it's like, he's like, I don't really think in heydays anymore. And so I was just like, I just wanted you to finish that thought. That was
good.
I don't think in terms of heydays anymore.
Like,
yeah, because you're talking about that somebody recognized your voice.
I forgot him.
Yeah, that's right. See, I'm so old, I forgot the conversation we had 12 minutes ago. Yeah, so you think, right, so when you get older, you're not really thinking in terms of like the good old, I mean, you are, but it's not like I'm going to enter into some hate. You're just thinking like what's going to happen on Monday.
Yeah.
Right? You're like going day by day. You're thinking, am I going to survive through the week? Am I going to, you know what I mean? Am I going to be able to?
You're not
to,
thinking about the next heyday.
Right. You're not thinking of things in terms of eras anymore, right? Because it's like, I don't know how, I'm just going to get dark here for a second, but like, I don't know how much time I have, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I think it's more of a, day to day, you know, kind of an
man,
existence.
That,
you know?
That poster suits your mood, right?
Yeah, I
now.
Think this poster kind of sums it up for me.
Dude, those posters are
saving
sick.
A guy out of the ice and then getting murdered.
Are you
afterwards?
Are you the guy in the ice right now? Like emotionally, you're kind of you know.
Yeah, am I the guy in the ice or the guy saving the guy?
You're a little cold
who
from
then,
here down.
Who then gets murdered?
Right?
Yeah.
You're
no,
freezing.
I'm the bystander.
Yeah. Okay.
10 feet away, going. I should have saved the guy in the ice.
Yeah.
I didn't. I feel guilty. You know what? Just and then I get quiet and I just pull back.
Yeah.
Because. I'm not in a heyday anymore.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I like it.
I don't think in terms of heyday. I think in terms of payday.
Hey,
the candy bar.
Let's turn this heyday into a payday. I love that ethos. Come get your swag.
Bar.
That was a great question. Let's clap it up. Let's go over here.
Hi, I'm Patrick Schrock from Northern Wisconsin, and I have a question about friendship.
It's a long way away.
Yeah, it is.
It is. I flew in just this afternoon, actually.
For real?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Dude. Anyway. So, your guys' friendship, is it something you guys just fake for the filthy lucre from Dwell?
Absolutely.
Or...
I hate these guys.
Dude, when we leave this room, it's three taxi cabs going in three different directions.
Made them book us at three
100.
Hotels so we wouldn't cross paths at the lobby.
100.
So, if there is something genuine there, yeah, what advice would you have for those of us who struggle with... friendships as we become older white guys. It's hard to have friendships, it seems, sometimes.
Older white guys.
Is it the purview of older white guys
to struggle with
not
friendship?
Have any friends?
I mean, look around.
It makes me sad. Yeah.
He missed the panel discussion we had earlier about this, really.
That's true. We did talk about this,
bit.
Didn't we?
A little bit.
No, it's a good question, though. It's a good, it's a good question, and I want us to do it justice. I mean, I think we did talk about this on the panel. So there's like a... a mechanical kind of small scale element to this, wherein we are now like in business together, right? So we're on a Skype together once a week, and we talk for an hour. And because of that, I talk to these guys more than I talk to a lot of people. So we have this natural overlap in our lives, and we're doing projects together, and we have the book together, and we have things that are sort of tying us together. But then I think we also have things in common, you know, like the kind of inner ring core tenets of the faith. We share all those things. We may differ on some externals, but like the things that really matter we have in common. So that's pretty big too. And then also like some more peripheral things like sense of humor, we kind of have that in common too. So I think we're hitting on a lot of cylinders, and I think we have the kind of relationship, and we alluded to this in the hallway, where like we don't have to agree on everything to be really good friends. And it's like, we're not, you know, I'm not coming at your neck if we disagree on like some piece of minutia. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, the friendship matters more. So, you know.
Yeah, I think for us, there's that mechanical thing does make things a little bit easier. It would be, in all honesty, it'd be tough to maintain a friendship if the podcast just ended and we lived in three different places. You know, it would be the kind of friend who you text periodically, you keep up with that way, you cross paths at a conference, or they come through town, you might grab dinner or something. But the nature of the friendship would change. It's closer because we do talk weekly, and you can mix in conversation before and after recording. But it's not all mechanized. I mean, there's a genuine friendship. But isn't that the case always? Like, proximity and circumstance kind of define friendship in a lot of cases. Like, I'm friends with people because I am in the same building with them daily. Yeah. I wouldn't be friends with them if I never had that experience. Sure. So, but there does have to be intentionality, you know. Mm-hmm. There has to be a mutuality, you know. Both sides have to be like, yeah, this is good. I like this. This works.
Going to need to be another book deal.
Yeah.
We need to keep getting paid.
The filthy lucre is nice too. Not going to lie.
But yeah, I think friendship has probably gotten confused by things like social media and Facebook, where you feel obliged to be friends with people who you never cross paths with, and you kind of miss out on the simplicity of like, this is my next door neighbor, or this is the guy I work with, or these are people I go to church with who really, those are the best people to be friends with. And you should pour more in there. And like, Facebook is more just, it's a little bit like the magazine we were joking about, where you just kind of see the everyday lives and you're like, well, quick snapshot, moving on. Not really friends. That's a person from your past. You know what I mean? And so I think we don't need to be friends outside of just kind of what works, almost just geographically and circumstantially a lot of times.
Yeah. Great question. Come get some swag.
Thanks, guys.
Let's clap it up. I saw my lady yawn, so I think we need to go rapid fire through these. So yeah. I'm going to ask you to do one additional favor when you step up to the mic.
Talk fast.
Talk fast and say who the question's directed at. So just pick one of us, and we'll go a little more rapid fire because we could do this all night. Let's go right over here.
My name's Blake Marlowe from Forney, Texas. Rapid fire question for everybody. Got your next book deal. Matthew 27, 53. It's the saints that rose with Jesus from the grave. We don't know what happened to them afterwards. Biblical Highlander. Where are they today?
Ooh.
Think about it.
Wow, dude. You're bringing some business to the table.
Yes,
I like
we can talk
this.
Later. I got an agent, card.
Wait, so the ones who rose at... Like,
yeah.
When,
we don't, okay. Yeah.
And we're supposed to say where they went?
We don't know. It doesn't tell us.
We just
so they just went to the cities. You can make your own story.
I think that's Jared C. Wilson's next novel.
Nicolas Cage.
He just finished it, actually.
Yeah. Jared, I think that's a book proposal for Jared C. Wilson to write the novel about the person who experienced death and then rose again and like where he went. So we'll he listens religiously. He'll hear this.
That's a Jared project if there ever was one.
Echo Grab some Canyon. Swag, baby.
Yeah,
come on.
It's his next Echo Canyon or whatever.
Let's go over here.
Quick question for Ted. My name is Garrett from Lubbock. And there's a phrase I've heard you use, Ted, that I feel like there's probably an inside joke or a story behind.
Yeah.
Included on Gut Check. It's the phrase, dead Garfield eyes.
Oh, dead Garfield eyes. I wish we had the tech in this room. I wish we were in the kind of room that had like millions of dollars of technology behind us.
Well, yeah. We do have that drum cage.
We do have the drum cage. So dead Garfield eyes was in reference to a yearbook photo from when I was at Taylor University. And someone found it and like blew it up and sent it to the Gut Check podcast, and my partner on that show, Zachary Bartles, put it on the internet. And it's a picture where, like, I've got football neck, which is where your neck, like, it just starts at your ears and goes down to, like, your deltoids.
It's wider than your head.
It's wider than your head. Yeah. So I have that. And I've got a real, like, it's almost like a Drisky cut on the stubble. And it's real evil looking, and it's supposed to make me look scary. And my eyes are, like, half-lidded, a la Garfield from the cartoon, hence the term dead Garfield eyes. And I think the title of that episode was Ted Looks Into the Dead Eyes of His Former Self. And
that's
pretty
not
much
the happy rant.
No,
sure.
No, that isn't. That's a dark term.
It's a little bit like...
But you can find that photo. That photo's on the internet. So if you want to do some searching tonight, you can find dead Garfield eyes. It's a time. Come grab some swag. Let's go over here. Last but not least, on this side. And then we've got our promoter on the other side.
Hey, guys. I'm Nate from Houston. And this is for Ted. I remember you saying earlier on the podcast a couple episodes ago that you and KK lived in Lithuania.
We did for 1 year.
How formative was that for your marriage, and would you do something like that again?
Yeah, it was incredibly formative to our marriage. I think for us, so we celebrated our second anniversary during that year that we were in Lithuania. So we were very young. We were very new in our marriage. And I think for us, it was really good to be away. And as great as our families are, it was just good to be together. And it was good to be problem-solving together. It was good to be not pulled in so many different directions. And it was good to be kind of walking through a challenging thing together, in that we loved it there and we loved the adventure, but it was a hard place to live, right? It was different, and it challenged us, especially me, who had, like, grown up in a cornfield and never been anywhere. And she had been a lot of places, and, you know, she kind of pulled me along and helped me through it. But it was awesome. And I can say this about KK. She's the world's greatest traveler. There's no travel companion in the world who is as great as her. She thinks about stuff. She calms me down. She just, like, eases the way. And she's really fun. Like, she's an enthusiast. Wherever we go, she's reading, like, every line of copy on the plaque, and she knows stuff, and she shares it with me, and it's just a fun time. She's a lot of fun to travel with. So it was formative there. It was formative in, obviously, in terms of, like, the Lord using it to kind of plant the seed in terms of international adoption, which we would end up doing later. So it's funny, like, when you're young and you do those years and you have, like, this probably skewed vision in your head of what missions looks like. And then you go and you come back and you feel like, what really happened? What good did we do? You know, now being old,
thanks for giving me the nod on that one,
baby. I'm right there with you. One foot in the grave over here. But now being on this side of it, age wise, like, it really was a formative year, and the Lord did so much with it, and I would absolutely do it again. It'd be fun to do it again. And I hope we have one more big adventure in us, baby. And, I don't know what it's going to be, but
it'll be your heyday.
It'll be my heyday. Yeah. I need a heyday I can grow old with. And maybe it'll be that. Let's clap it up for that question. Very thoughtful. Thank you. So we've come to the portion of the program where I think it's only appropriate that our event promoter, Ryan Walling, the great Ryan Walling, elite of elites, asks the last question and kind of closes the night with it. So, Ryan, you have the floor. Ask anything.
So you guys come from various backgrounds: publishing, pastoring, music, sports, a lot of things that you guys have done, and it spreads a lot of different fields of interest.
Yeah.
I want to know who is the most famous person in your contacts, and it can't be Papa Pipe, and it can't be any of the three of you.
Oh, that's a good question, Ryan Walling. That's why he's the king of promoters. Yeah, who's the most famous person in our respective cell phones? This is fun.
Yeah, you guys go ahead. And it can't be Jared C. Wilson either, Ron.
Ron, who you got?
I mean, I'm the most famous guy on my list, man.
Now,
I got nothing.
I have a follow-up question to you. Do you keep it that way? Like if you meet somebody, yeah, if you meet somebody,
you notice I didn't mention you two.
Yeah, that's right.
You notice I excluded you from that list.
Exactly. You feel as though they might be more famous than you. Do you delete the contact?
Like, yeah, oh, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Beth Moore on the phone?
I mean, we already know the answer to it. Yeah. You know, I feel like you're trying to, you're hitting me, you know, this thing beats
right here. I know, right? I know it.
This thing feels things right here.
I don't want to pick at a scab, but right. I would love for there to be a day where
Again,
Beth Moore's on your phone.
The only Beth I have in my life is the, you know.
The one that really
the
matters.
One I helped create, yes.
That's it. Yeah, that's so. Right. That's right. Okay, we got Beth Moore over here. What do we got here?
Oh, man.
Not Beth Moore. Beth, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Beth Martin?
Beth Martin, yeah.
There you go. I mean, spending 15 years in publishing, I end up with a bunch of random contacts.
He's, like, qualifying right now.
Ooh, let's go. Let's get a couple.
Doesn't want to just get direct.
This is interesting,
us.
Yeah.
Former Bears defensive end Israel Adonijé.
Solid.
I have Christine Kane.
I don't know who that is.
Doesn't matter.
She's friends with Beth Moore.
Okay. You guys sign off on Christine Kane.
I love how that's the only way you have to describe
for you. Yes.
I know Christine Kane.
Christine Kane's big in like the leadership scene.
Yeah.
John Acuff, does he count for anything?
Yeah.
In this game?
Stupid things people like about Christians. What was his book?
Stuff Christians like.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. That was a nice payday
Which
for him.
Is strikingly close to stupid things people like about Christians.
That's
but,
true.
I mean, there was a lot of that in there.
We're working
strikingly
it out.
Close to,
We're
I don't know, a book it. That we've written recently.
That's right. Mine are all, like the real famous ones are probably in sports. So one would be Jim Kelly, the old quarterback from the Buffalo Bills, is in the Hall of Fame.
I don't have anybody in the Hall of Fame in my
family. Evander Holyfield, former heavyweight champion boxer.
Wow.
I've been to his house, little
you,
flex.
You guys been texting recently, Big T?
He's not a great texter, okay? I'm not going to lie.
You got some outstanding texts.
I put some things out there. I go two or three in a row, and it's crickets. You know what I mean? And I'm like, Evander, come on. How hard is it to just
You're like,
pick
Evie,
up the phone?
Come on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Jim Kelly, Evander Holyfield, Tim Tebow's dad. Which is weird.
Well, we're reaching now.
Bobby?
That's like being John Piper's son. It's not really a big deal.
We're reaching.
Exactly. We're reaching. And
what about a one particular pastor from
father
North
of,
Carolina?
Father of an army of children.
Formerly from East Lansing.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Formerly a co-writer.
That kind
formerly, of, a lot of formerlies going on.
I know, man. You're hitting me with the formerlies. Yeah, still on the phone. Still
I can't remember his name.
But, yeah, yeah. I remember his initials.
Guy. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, still on the phone. Still in there.
Oh, at least you haven't burned that bridge.
That hurts, man. That cuts to the quick. I've burned a few for sure, but I'll tell you.
Or rather, he hasn't burned that bridge. And
yeah, exactly.
His phone
hey,
that wasn't at you.
That street runs both ways, baby. We know that. One bridge I'm not going to burn, and I know this for a fact, is the bridge that goes from this program, this company, to Ryan Walling's company.
Mm.
Okay? We're going to be doing business together in the future. I'm confident of this because he's the kind of guy that that we want to be in business with as a show. Guys, we're about to wrap our last episode in Hearst. There's a little sadness in my heart. Final thoughts. What's on your heart?
Mm.
What's on my... I'm tired, man.
Yeah, I'm tired too.
I don't know if that counts.
Let's do this. Let's wrap the program. Then we can have a nice little chit-chat time. We can come down.
Actual thought. That was the best Q&A we've ever had at a live show with listeners.
That was an incredible Q&A. And you guys, yeah, clap it up for yourselves. That's why these are elites. These are cultural elites.
I was just thinking through the questions. There were funny questions, thoughtful questions, personal questions, all of them well articulated.
Mennonite poster questions.
Shaming
Who
Ted
would you
for
be
not
in this
listening
scene?
To a podcast questions. I mean, it was here for
right.
all of it.
But we're okay
really,
still.
They were really good.
Yeah. Question mark.
We're still okay.
Yeah, exactly. No, this was great, man. It was a great night, a great audience. Thank you for traveling like some distance to be here. We got people from Wisconsin and people from across the state and
Virginia.
It is all seriousness, all earnestness for a minute. It's really special to keep doing this. We love doing it. It's so much fun. We're super appreciative. Thanks for listening. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with.
Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Once in a generation, a podcast comes along with the power and eloquence to inspire us all.
This show will entertain you while you wait for that one. Join two best friends, author and former history teacher John Driver and comedian Johnny W. for hilarious and authentic conversations about life, history, culture, faith, and everything in between.
You can listen to Talk About That wherever you find your podcasts or at lifeaudio.com.